Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What a fake town! Hey, how we doing? It's a Way Back Wednesday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's myself. We're going to take you for the next 3 hours, have some fun, talk some sports, and, of course, always mixing in some other things. Fellas, what's going on?
How confused do you think the people are that I started the whoa, and then you did it, and it was too
everybody's confused.
Like,
right
what
now.
The hell just happened? Is something wrong with my radio?
Well, we're still waiting to...
People ask us on a daily basis with, whenever we come on the air.
Just messing with Joseph over here, who wasn't prepared, wasn't right. He would rather spend time... talking to Charlie Palillo, his good friend.
In New York, we call it kibitzing. We just kibitz after a show. It's all right. Just talk amongst yourselves. I'll get back.
Very nice. Coffee talk. It's a really good accent that you do. Him and his buddy Ken Hoffman. And your buddy Ken Hoffman. You guys are good
yep.
friends.
Me and the Hoff. We're
yeah.
friends.
Hoffster. The Hoffster.
Yep.
Yeah. So you just would rather hang out and chit-chat with them. It was like an old guy reunion. Like an old guy... sports talk reunion thing.
So that's a lot of old, that's a lot of years between the three
and
of them.
What was crazy is as the three of them were talking, four different times everyone forgot what the topic of the conversation was. That's how old everybody is. They were just like, what were we talking about?
Who forgot what? Was it Joel? Because Joel's been pretty forgetful lately.
All of them. Oh, yeah. Mm. Imagine that. You think he forgot anything about today?
I'm going to let you call him out.
Well, tell them people what you did, Joel.
No, you're not going to talk to me like I'm some child in your household. You tell
the people what you did, Joel. Turn yourself in.
Ladies and gentlemen, I did my list at 4 a.m. Yeah. this morning.
Yeah, I saw that.
So and my list was the first one in.
Did it wrong.
At least mine was on time.
Off topic?
Is yours done?
No.
No. Nick, but is yours done?
But
no.
It's on topic. That's
yeah, it's
what
done.
Matters.
I just haven't submitted it to you.
So since normally... Normally, there's a bunch of leeway whenever we do a Way Back Wednesday.
This one was very specific.
We were focused on the main focus of this show, Barry Laminack, and his allegiance to a football team, which is changing because of Bill O'Brien. So Barry said, we're going to do it on, I thought, and I'll take the blame for this, I thought because he's changing teams. It would be change, decision.
We sound so petty and dysfunctional.
I was looking at all
it's
these
ridiculous.
Things. I got my
this
list
is like the
in.
Third time
I wanted
in
to get it done.
Weeks.
And right before we came into the studio, Nick, and to Nick's credit, he just wanted to make sure he just threw it out there. But he was like, hey, so what is exactly the theme of Way Back Wednesday? Is it changed? But nope. Barry said, nope. And I'm like, well, great. Good thing to know with 3 minutes
to point
to go
out,
before the
I
show.
Didn't really say, I didn't even bring it up.
I did because
Nick
I knew
did.
It was going to happen
that.
On the air.
No, actually, I wouldn't have
and
noticed.
It happened anyway.
Honestly, I wouldn't have noticed.
Really?
If
so you were just messing around. So you really don't care.
I swear. No, I don't. If you would not have said anything, I would have never noticed.
So the topic was about choices and decisions.
And he does
dubbed
change.
It as changes.
And here we are.
And
I use
else.
Change as well as decisions.
Same thing. You're changing your allegiance from the Texans.
That's what
to
I
those,
thought. But I evidently I thought wrong. Which is
his
on
defense.
A regular basis, I'm finding out as I do this show.
Yeah. Well... By the way,
Barry's an a-hole. He likes being an a-hole.
I'm finding that out more and more on a daily basis.
False. Wrong answer. By the way, I only know one song on my list.
Are they clean at least, bro?
I doubt. One of them is Project Pat. So
that sounds like it's very explicit.
If you want to use today, him or me, that's available.
I don't know what that is.
You don't remember
that song?
It doesn't
sound good. No, how's it go?
You don't remember
sing it for me.
Do you really want him or do you really want me? They used to play it all the time.
That's another topic.
In the clubs.
Sounds kind of familiar.
Nick, maybe a little before your time, but it was a pretty good song.
Do you really want him or do you really want me? Yeah. I don't know what that
by
is.
By the group Today?
A little before my time, bro.
Can you give us a little taste of that before we get through this segment? Because I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Okay. It's an R&B song.
Yeah, so it's not dirty?
No.
Okay.
It could very much be dirty.
He wouldn't care. I wouldn't totally do that to you. You know that.
I'll say, so Today, what's the name of the song again? A Little what?
Him or Me. That's a good first segment.
I don't recall that, but I'll take your word for it.
All right.
If Nick finds it, great. Uh-oh. What the hell? No. Oh, okay.
You do know it.
Well done, my friend. That's a good pull.
See?
That's a good pull.
I told you, it's available. I saved it. You can have it.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Yeah, put this on my list.
Nope.
I'm gonna send you seven.
I'm stealing it right
now. Just add this.
Whoever submits it first gets it.
Well done, Joseph. That's a good pull.
See?
I'm gonna go with George Jones.
Oh, choices. No.
I don't even know what it sounds
like. George Jones is like...
I know. He's awful.
Is Joel still standing?
A slow crooner.
No, he found a chair that's actually really high.
It's kind of like a bar stool.
Oh, yeah, because he's using the hemorrhoid cushion now.
No, I got no cushion, buddy. Nope. Just got a stool without a back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he found a... And then he was like... Yesterday, I had to fuss at him because I was like, don't make Bob, because Bob's already not a tall guy.
Yeah, he's
short.
And
then he was in that chair, and Joel's sitting on that bar stool just towering over him. I lowered my chair.
Found out that the stool's control for height doesn't really work, but then
it goes up, not down.
It goes up, but not down. So then Barry wanted me to lower it. Next thing you know, I'm like, now I'm Wilt Chamberlain over Crew Bob. I'm looking way down, and I think I'm just going to squat.
Are you sitting on a bar chair?
Yeah, it's literally like a bar
stool. That's awesome. I love it. Because for years now, I've been
this would be Joel at the
mini me chair. And now I finally got a chair with decent height.
Yeah.
So I like it. Don't be jealous, Nick.
I'm not jealous.
Jeez.
You're already tall. You're the tallest person on the show.
He had choices to change his chair. Huh?
How's your list? Your list isn't even done. Still.
No, it'll be done before you get to your read.
So we've got a lot to get to on today's show. We got a Rockets win last night, but even more importantly, with Clint Capella sitting on the bench, little did he know, by the time the game would be finished, a trade would be executed between four different ball clubs, and Clint Capella would be a member of the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay, so let's just get it out of the way now. Are the Rockets better now than they were yesterday? Yes or no? What say you guys?
I don't think...
Covington, getting rid of Clint Capella, and Jordan Bell, getting Jordan Bell too. What say you guys?
Regular season, yes. Playoffs, no.
I'm gonna say no too. I didn't want to give you an answer. I was gonna say, well, let's see, but that wouldn't be a fair answer,
right?
But they're obviously this is. I feel it's a semi desperate move.
By who?
By the Rockets.
By Daryl Morey or D'Antoni lobbying for it?
I don't think D'Antoni has any control over that.
I would say that. No. I would agree with that sentiment.
This is all Daryl.
So let me ask you this though: what's up with the small lineup? Was this just so Capella doesn't get hurt or look bad and loses his trade value? Is that why they've been going small lineup? Or has he legitimately been hurt? Or has it just been one of those things where they're going to go and be a small team, catch us if you can? Is a thing I heard. They're going to run and not worry about it. Which is it?
So D'Antoni ran this exact same system in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. The only difference was he had the proper players to execute it because he had an athletic big like Stoudemire, and he had a really athletic wing at the time in Joe Johnson, and he had an MVP point guard in Steve Nash, and he had so many different guys around him. And I think that he just decided, based on the fact that they'd only lost one game when they went with this small lineup, that for the foreseeable future, that was the most effective lineup they could put out there. But what he doesn't realize, and that's why I said, for the short term and in the regular season, I said you needed to add shooting, and you needed an athletic wing that could score to take the pressure off of Harden and Russ Westbrook. You got that. But come playoff time, and you look at the Western Conference teams, and you look at the one thing that most all good teams in the West have, and all eight playoff teams almost have, and that is a pretty physical dominant center. And PJ Tucker, and I'll have you guys go back and remember one game. They played the Milwaukee Bucks when the Greek Freak fouled out with 5 minutes to play. And they went to Lopez. They went to Brooke Lopez in the post on 12 straight possessions.
Mm-hmm.
He scored on every single one of them because PJ Tucker was a half a foot shorter.
Well, I agree with you in the sense that in the regular season, maybe they're better. In mm-hmm. the playoffs, they're not. Because think about this now. At the top of the Western Conference, three of the four teams have dominant big men.
More than
you've
one.
You've got Anthony Davis. You've got, yeah, the Lakers
JaVale
have
McGee and Dwight Howard.
JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard plus Anthony Davis. You've got the Jazz have Rudy Gobert, Jokic at Denver. The only one that really Clippers doesn't have the Clippers.
Well, but they have Zubats and, yeah. they have Montrezl Harrell. Zubats
and
is
Montrezl
the size,
Harrell, I wouldn't call him a big man because I think P.J. Tucker can hold him from a size perspective. Not necessarily can stay with him athletically, but just from a size perspective, it's not like guarding a seven-footer.
I'll tell you the one.
And they do have the 1 7-footer on the Clippers, but he doesn't scare me as much. But those other three, this is what scares me for the playoffs. If they don't go and get a big, somebody that can, as you a phrase you often use in that situation, with some sand in their shorts,
yep.
They can get down there and body up somebody. And it doesn't have to be anybody great. It doesn't have to be a superstar.
Right.
You just need somebody. Just get a shot blocker. That's all I care about.
Yeah, my fear is that they're going to go for someone that probably doesn't have a lot in the tank, but they're hoping he finds some second win. I mean, that's kind of like when you look at Tyson Chandler, that was kind of a hope. That was kind of a decision that was, you know, made because they were hoping he could contribute a lot more than he actually has been. And that's my fear is a reach, is they're going to try and get this big man that's an absolute reach and really doesn't have the ability to contribute enough in the postseason. But look, they have to make a move. Obviously, they feel like what was on this team wasn't working, whether they want to admit it or not. It's kind of a indirect self-admission that they want to change the roster because they feel like that this roster the roster as it sits now doesn't seem like it's going to win an NBA championship. So
we can break down the trade itself, but Barry, to your point, the one thing, whether Harrell is too athletic for PJ or not, the one test that I wanted to see in terms of Tucker and his defense and where he was this year was Zion. Because regardless, a veteran should know the kind of tricks of the trade, and PJ's a physical defender. And I thought, well, let me see how he does against the kid. Because if he can neutralize the kid a little bit, then you realize that he can still defend some guys with some size. And Zion just spun by him and faked past him and, of course, could jump over him. And I was like, oh, Lord, this rookie is taking it to him. That's a problem.
Yeah.
So that's something they got to address. Now, they have time.
But that's your boy. That's your boy. That's your heartbeat. That's your heart and soul. Because I've been saying now, don't try to jump on my bandwagon. No, I'm just messing with you.
He's the heart
but
and soul.
I've been telling you guys, P.J. Tucker doesn't look the same, and he doesn't have the same fire that you and I were excited about when he first came to Houston. He's not the same P.J. Tucker, and that worries me, and I've been worried for several weeks now. So if you guys want to climb on board this train now, but don't start telling me how bad P.J. Tucker is three
if
months
you're
from
looking
now.
For me to change, there's no way in the world I'm going
well,
to even entertain
that's your
change.
Choice. That's your choice.
All right? It's a decision that I'm going to make.
Okay.
Got it? We're going to break down the
well
trade. Several trades. We got a big baseball trade to talk about.
Yeah.
We've got the basketball trade. The deadline, by the way, is not till tomorrow at 2 o'clock. So, therefore, the Rockets still have time. And now, because one of the arguments is Tillman Fertitta insisted they get below the salary cap threshold for luxury tax. So, they're $12 million under now. So, they do have some flexibility if they do want to try and add a center still mm-hmm. or get some low post help. And I suggest that they do. But we've got plenty to get to there. So, if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. You can call that number, text that number. You can also hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. Before we get to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been speaking about Fitz Roofing for quite a while now. It's because they're just great people in the Houston area doing work for the people in H-Town and the surrounding areas. They're locally owned and operated, which means they're going to make sure that they take care of you because they want word of mouth to say what a great job they've done and how they've helped you in their community. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor, so the ratings back up what I'm trying to tell you. Check them out at FITZRoofing.com or better yet, call 832-521-3001 and get your free no-obligation inspection today. You call them, they come to you, they tell you what they can do, and then they wait. If you call them back, they'll come back and do fantastic work before, during, and after. If not, hey, it's your choice to make when you're trying to put a roof on your house. If you go with somebody else, you might get a deposit thief, a storm chaser, or someone that's just going to do sketchy work, and you really don't want that. They use the best product in the business, CertainTeed Shingles. They're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company, and only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States have that criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Simply put, their base warranties longer than your average roofer. Call them 832-521-3001 or FitzRoofing.com. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Let it go back to when we played as kids, but things change. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back, Usual Suspects. Just getting started. Second segment of the first hour, if you're keeping score at home. If you want to get in touch with the show, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You can text that number. You can call that number. Hit us up on Twitter, at Pac-Man Joe with a K, at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny. A lot of stuff to get to. We were breaking down the trade a little bit. We're going to do that a little bit more. Here's the thing. Are we sleeping on the Jordan Bell aspect of this trade? Because there was a couple years ago when people were really excited at what Jordan Bell could be. So are we sleeping on that, or is this that experiment is done?
You know why?
Why?
Because if he was still that good, Golden State would still have him.
Well, was there room for him there?
Yep.
There was?
Remember, Jordan Bell is known more for carrying a large bottle of alcohol at the parade and doing a bunch of stupid stuff.
Sure.
Than he was for actually the way he played.
But there was talk that eventually he could earn a spot in the rotation, in the starting rotation.
Yeah, when they drafted Warriors. Him, they thought this kid had... Kevon Looney, who was also discussed as a possibility for the Rockets.
Yeah.
Kevon Looney's from my hometown. Kevon Looney was he was kind of Clint Capella-esque in the fact that he was limited in what you were going to get offensively and otherwise. He just maximized what he brought to the table. Jordan Bell, with his athleticism and all the things that he brought, they thought, oh my God, you're going to be a more athletic and more talented offensive Kevon Looney. And it just never developed.
Okay, now, is there the potential? And I'm just asking. Mm-hmm. Is there the potential that this is their Montrezl Harrell, where he was here, athletic, never really cracked the rotation, never really had favor. Once he gets outside of that scenario and gets to the right team in the right situation?
Well, here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that if this was his second team, but he's been with Minnesota.
Yeah.
And Minnesota's not playing him either.
Yeah.
So, other thing to factor in is you really have no choice, because what you've admitted in this last stretch of 5-6 games is I'm not going to play Hartenstein, and I'm definitely done with the Tyson Chandler. He obviously has nothing left in the tank.
Right.
So if you're not going to play those two guys, then Jordan Bell's going to see the floor, and at least you're going to throw him out there and see, can I get some of that athleticism and that ability to defend and be active, and maybe he can help us a little bit. But I think the bigger thing that you hold out hope in is the fact that the deadline's tomorrow at 2.
Mm-hmm.
You're now under the luxury tax, which supposedly was a big deal for your owner. So you've got some wiggle room without going over the luxury tax threshold to be able to get another player in. The problem is, what are you going to give up to get him? Because I thought Clint Capella himself, just alone, and his $14 to $17 million contract would have been good enough to get you Covington and more. Instead, you had to throw in your first-round pick, the only one you had left, this year's first-round pick, and Clint, just to get Covington and Jordan Bell?
Yeah, but Covington was – I didn't realize how much, and I knew he was a good player, but I didn't realize how coveted he was this trade deadline.
Well,
I
mean,
there were a lot of teams that wanted him. So you got to give credit again to Daryl Morey in that regard for going out and getting a name that a lot of teams, a lot of contenders, a lot of people that thought they were in it would have loved to have added. And, you know, obviously you got weaker at the center position. So Jordan Bell gives you a body to fill that role. I think what you hope from Jordan Bell is that he is your version of the Clippers and Montrezl Harrell. But at the end of the day, you just really need a guy to block a few shots and grab a few rebounds.
He's not going to be as talented as Harrell offensively.
No.
But
you really have no choice.
He's going to be active defensively. But this is the other thing Rockets fans aren't digesting. I tell you that you give up this year's first-round pick and you give up Clint Capella.
Yeah.
Then I don't think people are really focused in it. Gerald Green's gone, too.
Yeah. That didn't
Gerald
bother
Green
me.
Was part of the Nene was part of the deal.
Nene didn't bother me. No, Gerald Green didn't bother me.
But you're missing it. because of the fact that you needed assets to make another move. Oh. Because you were targeting shooting, a small forward, and a center. Mm-hmm. So you got the small forward. I don't know that you got a center. You got a guy that could possibly be serviceable. But if you aren't done dealing yet, you're out of draft picks, mm-hmm. and you're really out of most of your resources that you can move to go get somebody else. You right. got to hope for a buyout market.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think at this point it's – and maybe Jordan Bell was just a piece to be able to move somewhere else because he's – I was looking at his contract on Spot Track, and he's got this year at 1.6, and then next year a qualifying offer would be $2 million. And then he's a restricted free agent next year as well.
You would be a bigger dollar figure so you could move it?
Yeah. But it also would be an expiring contract for somebody to free up a little bit of money or at least not have it on the books.
Keep in mind this. Because the deal has been agreed to, there's a window of opportunity, as they call it, where he can add to the deal if he wants. So
who?
Daryl.
Oh, yeah.
So now you can find a fifth team if you can find a team and say as part of the deal, I'm going to move on. Like you said, I'm going to do as part of the deal, I'm going to move Jordan Bell.
And
something else
right.
to bring back
McLemore.
This player.
Or whatever.
Whoever. Yeah. But yeah, again, when you look at the roster, there's not many guys
not
making enough money to
no.
where you can make that make sense.
No, there's not a lot of money. And that's why I think that what this signifies is that they're going to be active in the buyout market, is that they're going to find their depth and whoever that is. I did see Chandler Parsons. Obviously, he's not playing.
Well, he's,
that was
he's
the
got
first
potential brain damage.
That's now. What I'm saying. Obviously, he's not playing. But that's what's going to happen now is you're going to see a lot of guys get bought out or, you know, expiring contracts, whatever. And if the Grizzlies don't get a trade offer that they like, do you take a trade or do you just buy out Iguodala?
I don't think let Iggy sit, but that's the bigger thing because here's keep in mind with that too, Barry. In years past, everybody, as we've talked about on this show, said, if you buy me out, I'm going to Houston because their starting five tells me they got a chance to win it all. They need help on the bench. If I'm Kenneth Faried, I'm going. If I'm Austin Rivers, I'm going. Now you got the Lakers and the Clippers going, oh, by the way, we need a little help right now. And we've got teams that everybody already knows are going to be fighting for a championship. And I could go to L.A. and I Southern California and all that and all the hope. And why am I taking Houston?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think one of the other aspects of this trade that maybe we're not looking at is the fact that you got – I realized that Capella's contract was favorable, but it was still a long contract and a lot
big
of money.
Deal, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of money over the next 4 years with – I mean, in 22, 23, you'd have to pay that dude $18 million. And now you don't. And so I think Covington has two more years on his deal after this, so you could literally get out from both of those guys within 2 years. So maybe Daryl's looking long-term as well by getting out of the Capella because at the time you had to do that. You didn't overpay for Capella necessarily, but it was still an investment in a guy who hasn't lived up to the hype. So in a way, you got out from under that, so that's good. But I just – it's going to be interesting to see because I don't think he's done, but I want to see what magic can he pull off.
Well, that's the thing. You could – I mean, look, I give him credit for being able to pull off another deal that has a chance to make them better. But you're out of resources now. I mean, he's always talked about assets and resources and things to make deals. Well, you're out of first-round picks. You're basically out of second-round picks. And because of the guys that you can't or won't trade, mainly Gordon and your two best players, you don't have any more guys that you can move.
Don't sleep on P.J. Tucker getting moved. I could see – could you not see maybe a Jordan Bell, P.J. Tucker move to bring in – somebody like a better big man
because you then, better get someone damn then good because that locker room's going to be pissed off.
Yeah, but Covington becomes that guy, right? He's a 3-and-D wingman.
But he's not your heart and perimeter. Soul.
Not your heart and soul, but nope. He can guard the perimeter. And I think if PJ's who has lost a step, if you can get if you can get an interior defender,
but Barry,
big man
still
that
down
fits,
to one.
Then you've got better on the wing. You got better on the perimeter, and you could get
but you're
better
down to
interior.
One because you're giving away one of the only two guys you had on the post in PJ, mm-hmm. and you're giving away the guy you just acquired to play the post in Bell.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever you trade, whoever you get back in that move, you still basically only have one post defender that can actually play.
Yeah.
Because we know that Tyson Chandler's way past his prime, and they obviously don't have any confidence in Hartenstein.
Well, the advantage for Chandler is you do get the expiring contract that you can move as part of a deal if you wanted to do that. So you could say, hey, here's Bell, here's Chandler, here's PJ Tucker. get one player back in return that maybe makes a contribution. He's not going to be a superstar.
No,
because that's still
PJ
not
Tucker,
enough money.
He's got to make a contribution.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's not going to be a superstar because PJ's only making $8 mil.
You're not getting
so between Tyson Chandler, PJ Tucker, and Jordan Bell, you're talking about maybe $11-12 million. What are you going to get for that? You know,
and that's a bigger number. That's something to work with.
If you can move it for a guy that makes $12 million, that's a legitimate low post defender. Then you got $12 million to find depth on the buyout market. That wouldn't be a terrible thing.
I just don't think. I cannot see a scenario where they're going to give up PJ Tucker.
Okay,
I just can't.
Okay,
but I mean, look, it's possible.
What choice do you have if you wanted to make a move? But they love him. You're right.
Well, you look at guys like I don't know what Aaron Baines is making in Phoenix, but there are guys, you know, a serviceable big that maybe doesn't have that NBA big contract yet. But can do Clint Capella type things.
Well, I just saw a headline that says Rockets are eyeing a potential buyouts of Thompson and Kidd Gilchrist.
Well, I don't know why you want Michael Kidd Gilchrist again.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't shoot. We've already been down that road, right? But if Tristan Thompson's bought out, now you got your guy.
Well, you know who's reporting that? Your boy. Our boy. Kelly Eco.
Oh.
He wrote it. Assuming the Rockets trade Capella and aren't able to land a serviceable replacement center over the next 72 hours, Tristan Thompson is someone they would like to acquire in a buyout. Another name to monitor is Charlotte's Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. So
Kidd-Gilchrist isn't big, but if you get Tristan Thompson, you've done well.
Yeah.
So
well,
you know he ain't going to L.A. because the Kardashians.
But that's what I'm saying.
There.
So you would have the $12 million. You get him. You know you could add depth. I don't think that they're
you don't have to
locked.
Pay him, you just pay him.
No, I realize you could give him the million because he's still getting his money from the buyout. But what I'm saying is you would have $12 million. You could get a couple of players if you wanted to on the buyout market for cheap and not have to move P.J. Tucker.
Yeah, if you don't have to move P.J. Tucker, you're in good shape. So we'll see what they do. Again, deadline's tomorrow at 2 p.m. So there is time for them to make a move. But we'll see if they actually have another one up their sleeve. That's the first half hour of the show. Still got 2.5 to go. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Coming to you from high above the Gal Media Studios. At least I am. Joel, Nick, Barry, Usual Suspects on a way back Wednesday in the big city. Temperature drop of, Stephen Uzek, between 20 and 30 degrees from yesterday to today.
Pretty significant.
Crazy when they say the high was going to be, after midnight, it was where it was going to be 54. And by midday today, it was going to be 42.
I like it, though.
It's crisp.
I dig it. Yep.
It's like Granado's beer.
Crisp.
Yeah. I went running last night.
Okay.
And I say that to say this. I don't enjoy running. I know you do, and you use it sometimes therapeutically to write jokes and all these other things. I don't mind hooping. I love hooping. I don't mind, you know, machines at the gym. For me, it's just Lisa's a marathon runner, and so it's easy for her to do. With my reflux and everything else, sometimes it's really hard sometimes to get going. So I got home from work last night. I just slapped on my running shoes and my gear, and I was like, you know what? I'm gone. And Lisa starts guilt tripping me that I should take the pit bull. And I'm like, why now? I just want to get done with this. And she's like, you know, Buddy's got a lot of energy today, and he really could go with you. And she guilt trips the hell out of me. So I was fine. And I love him, but he kind of does his own thing when we run. So I was like, finally, last minute, I go, okay, I'll take him. So I take him, and we go on like a 3.5-4 mile run. I'm about 3 blocks from the house when I realize I don't have any poop bags. So now for the next 3 or 4 blocks, I'm sitting there thinking, now what am I going to do? Because you know inevitably he's going to go and drop one right in front of like a couple at the park, kids playing on the playground, on the path that I take.
And they're watching.
And I'm going, what the hell am I going to do?
Pretend you didn't see it.
Just kick it home.
No, and I've seen so many people do that, but I'm the guy, kind of like Barry in the parking lot at Chick-fil-A. I'm the guy that goes, whoa, you go pick that up? Because otherwise I'm going to get the blame for it because they know I'm the house with 87 dogs. So I'm running, and luckily to get to the path, I'm running on the sidewalk past houses, and it hit me.
Take your sock off.
Nope. God love the frickin' Chronicle.
Oh, you stole somebody's paper?
I ran by a house in which a newspaper was wrapped in one of those plastic bags, and I was like, there it is. I stopped quickly. I took the newspaper out, dropped it right back on their sidewalk, put the bag in my pocket, and I'm like, boom, I got it solved.
So you left their paper to get wet.
But it wasn't raining at the time.
Bro.
And it was that day's paper. That's so they were going to pick it up.
You're better off just leaving poop that'll dissolve. You run somebody's paper that they paid their hard-earned money for?
I was proud of myself, man. And then, so, like a mile
and a half
in,
MacGyver of dog
he
crap.
Decided to squat.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then I was even more happy with the fact that I noticed that on one side of the newspaper bag, there were perforations. And I made sure that was on the top side of my hand, not the bottom, so I didn't get a handful of. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, when I got home, I was so happy that I had solved that problem.
Yeah, you're like the MacGyver.
I'm a problem solver.
You're the MacGyver of dog crap.
Yeah.
Good for you.
It was good.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's you run somebody's paper, but.
I would not have been stressing.
No.
At all.
No.
Would not
Based
have cared.
Based on your yard, I already
would
knew
have been
that.
Like, whose poop is that? Not my dog.
I would have been like, anybody that saw me, I'd be like, hey, I just forgot the bag at home. I normally pick it up, guys. I'm sorry. I would have made sure everyone knew that.
I thought about if anybody saw it going, look, I'm out of bags. I'll be back after my run to clean it up.
Why didn't you just, you had on sweatpants? Just put it in your pocket.
I had shorts on.
Yeah, just put it in your shorts pocket. Just pick it up. Wash your hands when you get home.
Nope.
Put it in your shorts pocket.
Okay, this from the guy.
Yeah. Well, you're fine with it.
I wants to murder someone for peeing off a balcony on him, but you're going to go and pick up poop and put it in your pocket.
I'm pressing charges if you pee on me. We'll just establish that now.
Okay.
Yeah, just, you know,
so
one
problem
of those
solved.
There you go.
There you go.
You're a problem solver. A poop problem solver.
So, baseball trade as well last night.
Yeah.
The long awaited, much discussed trade involving Mookie Betts going to the Dodgers has been executed. David Price and Mookie Betts end up in L.A. Verdugo and a hard-throwing minor league pitcher end up with Boston. It was basically a huge salary dump.
Yes.
And you gave up arguably one of the top five players in the game and didn't get a whole lot in return. But Boston is obviously in a cost-cutting mode. They're trying to reset the deck. So they're cutting salaries all over the place. The Dodgers are obviously going for it because they are loaded. As much as we talked about the Astros lineup a year ago and how potent it was offensively, the Dodgers lineup top to bottom is stacked.
Yeah, and, you know, it was one of those things where it was kind of a salary dump, but not completely because you're freeing up Mookie Betts' money that you were going to have to pay him. And so you don't have to pay him that, and that's good. But mm-hmm. He wasn't on the books anyways. You don't know that. I mean, the big thing is getting rid of David Price and that contract. And and so in order for the Dodgers to get Betts when the opportunity to sign him long term, which they have the money to do, they could have been competitive, but they had to take on David Price. My question is, if you're the Dodgers, you couldn't have just waited a year and taken your shot on the open market? I guess what you're doing is you're guaranteeing yourself 1 year with him. I don't know if I wouldn't have waited and avoided taking on David Price's contract for 3 years.
Yeah, because you're looking at it, too, from the standpoint of Boston still gave them $50 million as part of the deal. So they gave them basically half of what was left on Price's contract, which is around $96.
That was the confusing part. If you're going to dump salary, why are you giving up money?
Betts had this year at 27 and then was going to hit the market. But the problem was that everybody was guesstimating for everybody that said Machado or Bryce Harper was going to be the first $400 million man. He very well could be next offseason. I don't know if he's worth that much money.
I'd be surprised if he makes 40.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, even for him, you know, with all the talent he has and arguably the best right fielder defensively in the game. But so he joins a Dodger lineup, and as part of that, all those moves, the Dodgers traded my least favorite. The Dodgers traded my Matt Barnes.
Yeah.
Because you know how much I hate Matt Barnes when he played in the NBA. And we all know that the baseball equivalent of that to me is Jock Peterson. The bigger
you're
problem
big
if you're
Jock
an
Peterson
Astros
guy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you're a big fan of his.
Boy, the Angels are starting to look pretty damn good.
They really are.
People forgot on Twitter last night when they were going, I mean, what does he do? He just joins Trout and Rendon.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have Upton. And they, you know, and they got Simmons as a really good shortstop. They've got talent all around. They're starting to add some pitching too. Angels, you got to keep an eye on this year.
Yeah, that's the thing is they're going to have to work on their pitching. They're going to have to get better arms. But if they do get a, if they do get a, you know, an arm or two here or there,
sure,
they're going to be an issue.
Yeah.
They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Question is, does everybody over there stay healthy and how does all that go? But yeah, they got a lot better and you kind of feel like they have to. They're running out of they're about to waste Mike Trout's best years.
And you went out and got a real manager in Madden, and you know, obviously like you said, the time is now for the window of Mike Trout. But they, you know, quietly are kind of going for it because you know, you just look at the lineup itself, and you're right, as we both agreed, they need pitching. But the fact that you can go with Jock Peterson and Trout and Rendon in the middle of a lineup, top of a lineup, that's pretty salty.
Yeah, I know Pujols is in the mix, but he's not as threatening as he used to be. But yeah, that's pretty good. Where they're going to struggle. I mean, they're going to score some runs, but unless they make a move with Julio Teheran being their ace or being their best pitcher potentially on that staff, I would like to see them add some depth at least. But yeah, it's going to be interesting what they do.
If they can, I'm okay with it.
Oh, for sure.
Because I want the Stros to stay where they are.
But man, they still have 2 years left with Pujols. This year and next year.
That is a
they still owe that dude $60 million. Now, I mean, it's luxury tax, not cap, but still, that's crazy to me. And you know, so you got two LA teams with two of the worst contracts in baseball, Price and Pujols.
Yeah,
good for them though if they can swing that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But again, there's a team in the mix besides the Oakland A's now in the division. The division's getting better. Texas has quietly tried to get better and make some moves. But the Angels and the A's, it's not going to be a cakewalk by any means. So it's going to be something to keep an eye on as the Astros now settle in for the new season with their manager and general manager in place. I don't know if Hunter Pence, if there's any word on if he's accepted the offer the Astros made yesterday, but it's going to be really kind of something to keep an eye on to see how Click gets in there and does what he does and how quickly he's going to start looking to make moves to make this team better. Even if it's just the target all season long, off season long, was to enhance the pitching staff, which I don't know that they've done.
They haven't. I mean, I think that they might be comfortable with their starting five, but it's not going to be nearly what it was last year. Obviously, you losing Gerrit Cole. But, you know, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. They've got two guys in the top 10 considered to be, you know, favorites to lead the majors in wins, and Greinke and Verlander. So it's not terrible. You're getting a Lance McCullers back that you're not sure if he's going to be healthy or not. But if he is, and if he's on, and he can stay healthy, he's a bona fide one or two. I mean, McCullers could be an ace on some staffs. Not all staffs, obviously. He's not going to New York and
problem
and
is
supplanting
the big if is the health.
Cole. Yeah. But you've got a bona fide, you know, stud two, if nothing else, in Lance McCullers. So the health of him is going to be, I think, pivotal to that rotation.
No doubt. All right, so there's a little baseball for you, too. Plenty more to get to, and obviously the trade deadline not till tomorrow in the NBA, 2 p.m. We've got a little bit of an update on that coming back from the break because I've just seen some things there. And, of course, if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Before we get to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pesikoff and his staff, locally owned and operated here in Houston, Texas. I made the switch to Infuse Energy about 3.5 years ago. Several of the suspects have joined me along the way. P. Randizzle recently joined. Could not be happier. He's tweeted about it. You can do the same thing. It's better than these big energy companies that just want to get you on any plan, not going to inform you when your contract is up, charge you whatever rates go when it goes up and not tell you, and just take as much money as they can from you just to maximize their profits. That's not the way it is at Infuse. When you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you're going to get a human being on the phone and not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, and they're going to pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, and the best rate and deal they can possibly get you. And because you heard it on ESPN 97.5, if you mention us, right off the top, $25 bill credit on your first bill, and they're going to be 100% honest with you throughout the process. That means if there's another company out there that can beat their prices, they're going to let you know. Because you may not go with them this time, but you'll go with them at some point because you remembered that they were honest and upfront above board. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back, and the best rating you can get from the Public Utility Commission of Texas, 5 out of 5 stars. Check them out. I'm telling you, you'll be glad you did. Infuse energy into your life.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the first hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, it's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on a way back Wednesday. Our own, well, I say that because he used to be here at Gal Media, but now he's on to much bigger and better things. Kelly Eco, who writes for The Athletic and is the beat writer that covers the Rockets, within the last half hour reporting the Rockets are closing in on a deal for a center, currently talking to two Eastern Conference teams. In addition to a center, they are willing to take on additional salary in exchange for these assets. That is because, as I mentioned in the first segment of the show, they got $12 million under the luxury tax threshold. So they do have some cash to play with where you know you don't want to piss off the owner, who has adamantly said, unless you really believe it pushes you over the top to win a title, he does not want to be over that luxury tax level. So you have a good amount of wiggle room that you can be get better without going over. It's kind of like The Price is Right, right?
Right.
So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, what they do. And by the way, real quick, I want to add when we were talking.
Angel's arms?
Yeah, Ross Stripling. I didn't realize he was in the deal with Jock Peterson. Decent arm. I mean, he's not a world beater, but he's solid. He was an all-star a couple years ago. So that gives them what we're talking about. If they get some pitching depth, and he's a guy that can start or come out of the bullpen, I think he did both for the Dodgers most of the time. So, hey, that good for the Angels. They're going to be they could be, if they do that, if they get a couple more of those type of arms, could be a force. Then
they're definitely climbing the charts, which is, you know, in L.A., that's very important. And let me throw this at you, getting back to the Rockets one more time. As it plays out now with trading Chris Paul and trading Capella, this is the sides of the ledger, and you tell me which side wins, okay? Morey trades Chris Paul, Clint Capella, his 2020 first. He gives up the right to swap his 2021 first. He gives up his 2024 first, his 2026 first, and another swap in 23 for Westbrook and Covington. So essentially you get Westbrook and Covington for CP3, Capella, three firsts, and the ability to swap two more.
I know what you expect the answer to be.
I don't have any expectations on this. I'm middle of the road. I'm Switzerland. I'm just laying it out there for you.
But you guys know how I feel about draft picks in the NBA. And I'm not going to waver on that. So to me, you got the best player in all that is Russell Westbrook. You got an MVP, and you got Covington, who was coveted in this trade deadline. And you got an aging CP3 that was on the outs with this team. You got out from under his contract and him being older. You got out from under a Capella who underperformed based on expectations and a bigger contract. You could have done worse. And now I realize that they don't have picks. But again, outside of – and I'll expand it for you guys. Outside of the top 10, which I don't think the Rockets were going to be a lottery team, I'm not worried about those picks as much.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
But I could see why you would say they lost.
But I didn't say that, though. Remember that. I just threw it. I put it on the table, and
I let you eat. But I don't think they lost that.
Okay. But here's the other thing I was going to tell you before you go out and say that Russ Westbrook was the best player in that entire scenario.
Don't.
I'm telling you right now, as much as people crapped on Chris Paul, I firmly believe Chris Paul on this team this year makes the Rockets a better team than they are with Westbrook. And I love Westbrook. But just because of the way the pieces fit, you take the two most high-usage players with the ball in their hands in the NBA and tell them to peacefully coexist, where as much as they were at each other's throats when they played on the same team, they had a peaceful understanding in terms of what role they had to play in order to be successful. And Chris was okay being off the ball sometimes. He was a better three-point shooter than Russ. I just think they would be a better team right now with Chris Paul. I know that's hard for people to really want to digest and think about, but I believe that.
We had that discussion when I filled in for Barry on one of his trips, and I was telling you, you know, maybe I agree that Chris Paul on this team may have been a better team, but what I disagreed with you on was the Rockets, whether or not the Rockets made the right or wrong decision, because ultimately Chris Paul was an aging star and he didn't get along with your best player on the
team.
That's
the bigger thing.
And he didn't have a good down the stretch, right? I mean,
down the stretch, he looked okay. It was just the injury issue.
The injury is what got him. He had some big games going down the stretch and into the playoffs. They weren't every game, which is what people expect when you're making that much money. But I think, Nick, you touched on it, and I was going. That's where I was going back to this. If James Harden controls every aspect of this franchise, and he wasn't going to make the effort to solve whatever problems he and Chris Paul had, then Daryl Morey gets the credit for, as I told you guys yesterday and in the past, he put him back on the map for at least the regular season, because we know that it's a dynamic duo league. At least for a year, the whole Warriors super team scenario was out the window. And now it's all about each team has two superstars. And if the two superstars in Houston weren't going to get along, you weren't going to be in the conversation. When you made the trade and were able to pilfer Westbrook for Chris Paul when we thought he couldn't be moved, you at least for the regular season put yourself in the mix. And so you put yourself back on the map. And now it's like between that time and now, can you make yourself better around those two guys? So there's still time.
I know it shocks you, but I am going to disagree with you about him being better with Chris Paul. And I went back and looked real fast. I mean, there was twice he topped 18 points in the playoffs against Utah and Golden State. Out of all the games that they played, and they played what? 12 games, and only twice did he even get above 20 points. And that was your second star.
But you don't need we know you don't need him to if James is going off.
Yeah, but even his assist numbers were down. He only averaged like five and a half assists in the playoffs. And that's not good. If you're not going to be scoring, you got to be distributing, and he wasn't doing that either. And his minutes, I mean, he averaged 33, so he played. I just remember watching Chris Paul thinking, this isn't the same Chris Paul that they got, and it's not been that long. It's been maybe 2 years. It's kind of like what I've been saying about P.J. Tucker. He doesn't look like the same player, the P.J. Tucker that they got. That's what I felt about Chris Paul. And he's, you know, obviously, what it's he's fair. Doing now it's is fair. Amazing.
I throw it out for discussion and yeah. anybody that wants to chime in, because, I mean, I think at the time, everybody's initial reaction was, Chris has got to go.
Yeah.
And just ship him out. But now you see the way he's playing in Oklahoma City. You see how he's making guys around him better. And that's what makes me think.
But here's the difference.
And defensively.
There was a lot of room for improvement for the guys around him on that team. Not on the Rockets. I mean, these are guys that are expected to be high performers. No one expected anything out of OKC. So whatever Chris does above what he did down the stretch is going to be magnified and look that much better, especially when you consider that they're winning and how he's getting his team involved. He's making a lot of guys that are average NBA players look really good. Credit to him. He's just not going to do that on a squad that the Rockets have.
Yeah, I think a part of the problem, too, could be when the thing about Chris Paul is that he was consistently good at creating plays, right, and assists and seeing the floor. He wasn't consistently good with shooting three-pointers. He did take advantage of the mid-range, which kind of went against Mike D'Antoni's system, but he really wasn't consistent with scoring every single game. And I think every single time James Harden kind of depends on another teammate to kind of contribute, and he doesn't quickly, he feels the weight is on his shoulders and tries to take over the game. And I think that was the biggest struggle. And sometimes you saw Chris Paul wanting to lead the offense, and James Harden was like, oh, whatever. So if he feels like you're not going to do good that game, I feel like he's going to lose that ability to see the floor and pass more. And I think that's been the struggle with James Harden and Chris Paul. He wants you to score and score a lot, I feel like. Otherwise, he's just going to take over the game, and then you're going to see a lot more ISO ball and a lot less ball movement.
That's the key. You got his stats still up, Chris Paul?
Yeah.
I'm curious to see with the Rockets what he shot from three.
In the playoffs?
Percentage-wise, no, I bet you
his
three-point
good. Shooting percentage just overall for last year.
Let's see.
Because while we get to that.
I will say this. At last night's game in the Hornets, when they were down 18-5 in the first quarter pretty early. Second quarter, what brought them back in the game was ball movement.
Boom. But that's what I was going to tell you, Nick.
So
the difference between the first lineup and the second. Remember now, when Chris Paul excelled, a lot of times they would split the minutes. He would come in with the second team. The second team would excel because there was ball movement, because he was coaching guys up. He was moving the ball around. He was distributing instead of dribbling the air out of it. And then he'd look over to the sidelines, and that's where he was at fault, because then he'd say, leave James sitting. James would see this and want to get back in the middle of it, and he'd be like, no, just leave him sit there, because we got a good thing going. We're moving the ball. We're doing things. and we're running an offense as opposed to running the ISO ball, which is the main way that this offense runs when James is on the floor.
I do agree with you on that, but Westbrook does that now too. When you notice on the floor, Westbrook, there's a flow to the offense when James is out. So to answer your question, the first year that Chris Paul was here, he shot 38%. The second year, he shot 35.8% from three-point range. This year with OKC, 35.6. So no difference in the two. Where it matters, though, for Chris Paul, because remember, he shot 45% from three-point range the final month of the season. Okay? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, in April. He shot 45% down the stretch, right, when they went on that winning streak. In the playoffs, 19% against the Jazz and 31% against the Golden State Warriors. And his numbers across the board were way down in the playoffs. And to me, that was when it was most notable that, when he's playing really good competition night in and night out, Chris Paul didn't have it anymore. And I'm not suggesting that he hasn't resurrected it, but I just, obviously James wilts in the playoffs and we'll see what Russ does, but it just, they got younger and better at the same position. It is what I thought with Russ.
Okay. All right, well, that wraps up hour number one of the show. Still got 2 hours to go. Plenty more to get to. And, of course, you're always welcome to join us. 713-780-3776. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. So tell me, Mom, what's it gonna be, she said. You don't know what you
mean to me. G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston SaberCats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.